Shalom, shalom. I'm Martin Fletcher from Tel Aviv, and I'm mistervev him Rick Steves. That was Hebrew for I'm Martin Fletcher in Tel Aviv, and I'm traveling with Rick Steves. Koimli Martin Fletcher from Tel Aviv, and I'm mistervev him Rick Steves.
Travel writer Will Hyde says that Cape Town, South Africa, is the kind of city that makes him feel glad to be alive every time he visits. It's been one of his favorite getaways now for years. After starting with a prominent travel agency in London, Will now works as a freelance travel writer. His work often appears in Britain in the Times of London and in The Guardian, in the BBC's Lonely Planet online magazine, and possibly in a travel section near you. Will writes a travel blog at beentheredone.it, and his Twitter account is at Will Hyde, and that's spelled H-I-D-E.
It's time to boogie!
Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
Why does Cape Town make you feel so glad to be alive?
Do you know, I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm not a very spiritual person, and I certainly don't think I'm a very fit person athletically, but there's just something, there's an energy about Cape Town that just gets me whenever I go there. I'm very lucky being in London that with the reverse seasons, when it's the middle of our disgusting winter here in the UK, it's just an overnight, non-stop, no jet lag flight to Cape Town, and it's the middle of their summer. So I must admit, I always do try and get down there between about November and March when the weather is glorious. But there's just an energy that really comes off from Cape Town. I think it sounds quite airy-fairy, but it comes from the mountain itself. But there's also this fantastic creative sense down there. It's very much a clash, I think, of first world and third world head on. And there's just a real energy, and it really affects me when I go down there, I think. I've been there 21 times now since 1996, so I just thoroughly enjoy it.
When you talk about a clash of the first world and the developing world, you know, we think apartheid, but that's kind of old history now. And you're actually talking about a positive clash. How can a clash between first world and developing world, in the sense of South Africa, be positive?
In terms of the arts and everything down there, I mean, economically, I'm not pretending that things are fantastic. And I think people could easily pick me up on this. I have a fairly naive touristic view. And certainly when you drive in from the airport, you will very much see the third world side of things. But it's just the creativity. I think a lot of people down there, it is quite easy to be negative, but there are an awful lot of people down there who are very positive, you know, considering how things were. But just creatively, there's a lot of energy down there, and I think people harness into that.
Now, you said you're not necessarily a fit person. In other words, you're not an adventure sports enthusiast, it sounds like. But it also sounds, from reading your article, that you enjoyed a lot of adrenaline sports. Talk about the accessibility of these adrenaline sports. What can we do down there to get our adrenaline just really pumping?
Well, it's all very accessible, I have to say. I mean, Table Mountain itself, you can hike up it. There is a cable car, and I would recommend doing that, quite frankly. But once you're up the top, you can abseil off it. There is lots of kite surfing around, surfing.
What is abseiling, Will?
Abseiling is rappelling off with a rope.
So you're just going to kind of bounce down the hill with the safety of the rope, rappelling, I guess.
Exactly.
Huh, that sounds like fun.
The view is absolutely awesome.
So let me get this straight for those of us who haven't abseiled. You're wearing a harness and you've got some sort of way that the rope safely threads through your harness so that you go down in a controlled way?
Absolutely. You've got it spot on. And you're controlling yourself. And obviously, when you first step over the side of the mountain, it's contrary to all your natural thoughts. So you think it's all going to go horribly wrong, but then the rope clips in and you control yourself going down. So it's just one foot over another, very easy.
And can you control how far you bounce? You could go swooping way out and go down 10 meters per bounce, or
absolutely
timidly go 5 feet at a time or something.
Yes, absolutely. I was definitely category B. I was
wow.
Mr. Timid.
But if you go a second time, you probably get a little bolder.
But then what they didn't tell me the first time was that halfway down, there's this massive overhang of several hundred feet. So all of a sudden, you can't put your feet in anything and you're just dangling in midair, at which point it got a little more hairy, I have to say.
Were you wearing a helmet?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't
never
help quite
you sure
much.
What the point is. No, I'm never quite sure what the point is of wearing a helmet, apart from probably ticking some health and safety sign.
There okay, talk about sandboarding. You wrote pretty exciting about that. You said landing on sand, even at speed, is gentler than landing on snow.
Yes, that's about an hour away you can go sandboarding, which is just like it sounds. It's snowboarding, but on sand. The only difference being that for several days afterwards, if you do fall over, you will be finding sand in places that you didn't know sand could end up. So it's like kind of taking a bit of the holiday home with you.
Describe it. Describe exactly what you do.
There are these big sand dunes in a place called Betty's Bay, and you hike up to the top of them. And then, again, this is where my Mr. Timid comes in. You can either sit on the board and sort of go down on your backside, or the more adventurous can stand up, and it's like snowboarding.
It's like skiing or snowboarding on sand.
Oh, yeah. So, fun. I mean, Cape Town has a lot of these things you can do. And even if you're not normally a very adventurous type, which, I mean, to be honest, I'm really not, it's all there on your doorstep down there. It's a very compact city. I mean, I think I should be getting a cut from the PR team, quite frankly, because I love it so much. But the fantastic restaurants and everything down there, and then, of course, all the wineries just nearby.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Will Hyde, and Will's a travel writer from London. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Judy's on the line in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Judy, thanks for your call.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. This is so exciting.
Do you have a question for South Africa, Judy?
I do. I'm going with a small group of friends. We're going to start off going to Joburg, probably Victoria Falls, over to Kruger, down to Sosluwe, and then we have days in Cape Town at the end. It's only a group of about 12 of us, mostly females. And when we're in Cape Town, I want to do some sightseeing like a local, not necessarily like tourist things. And also we're going to be there during the big whale festival in Humanus, and I don't know how to get there, but I definitely want to be there. So if you could tell me how many days possibly to be there, and I don't think I can drive on the wrong side of the road or the other side, so what kinds of transportation we could use to get out to different places around Cape Town. That'd be great.
So, Will, first explain, what is this whale festival that Judy's interested in?
Well, yes, the town is Humanus, and I must admit, never been there quite at the right time of year to see this, but September, I'm told, is the absolute best time to be there. It's one of the few places, I'm told, where the whales come right into the shore, so you don't need to go out in a boat. You can see them from the clifftop. There's a chap there who will blow his horn, a local guy blows a horn whenever the whales are sighted, and then it peaks in this festival where it's just everything whale-related. If there's a bunch of you and you don't want to drive on the other side of the road, which is understandable, I would think you can easily hire a taxi for the day or whatever, or a minibus and a driver. It's not going to be too expensive, especially divided by all of you. And then if you wanted to, you could certainly stop in maybe somewhere like Stellenbosch on the way there or back, which is a town about 30 miles east of Cape Town. There's an old university there. It's also the center of the vineyards. There are literally hundreds of vineyards around there. So you could possibly stop off for a tasting if that was something you wanted to do.
Will, how would you compare Johannesburg and Cape Town? Because Judy's going to both.
Chalk and cheese. Joburg has a very unfortunate reputation. About in the mid-90s, you know, things there were rather unstable. And certainly here in the UK, it was on the news a lot for all the wrong reasons. I have been to Johannesburg several times, and I think it's a fantastic city. I think if you have a good guide, it's got, a tremendous energy. There's a lot to see and do. It's not as picturesque as Cape Town. It's more a workaday city, but there is a lot you can do there. I would certainly recommend going to the Apartheid Museum, which explores the more recent history of South Africa.
All right. Judy, thanks for your call. I hope that gives you some good ideas.
Okay.
Let us know how your trip goes. Okay, bye now.
Bye.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Will Hyde, a travel writer from London, about exploring Cape Town. Will, thinking about Judy's trip and so on, in a lot of countries that I've been in, you can rent a minibus with a local driver and five or six people share it and just have it for the day. And it's actually quite luxurious and efficient and also affordable. Is that an option in South Africa?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think certainly for us British, South Africa is a very reasonable country, and generally costs are going to be below what you would have in the USA as well. So things work out definitely cheaper. The local tourist board down there, if you email them, I've always found them very helpful and receptive. So that's one way someone who's going down there could get in touch beforehand to find out some options for hiring a car and a driver.
And you did talk earlier alluding to the pretty serious gap between wealthy people and poor people. And there's a lot of people in living in horrible living situations and so on. We don't want to be naive to that. On the other hand, a tourist going down there just to have some fun as a tourist, can they be in Cape Town and feel safe and feel comfortable even with this gripping poverty out in the countryside?
Well, the short answer is yes. I mean, I always think of in terms of not would I want to go to a particular place, but would I want to send my folks? And for a long time when I went down to Cape Town, my mum especially could not understand why I was going down there, and she was always worried. And then I was saying, look, you know, there's the South Africa you see on the news, and there's the South Africa you see when you get there. And I'm not for a second saying that, you know, bad things don't happen, but as a tourist, they generally take place in spots that you would never go to. Right. I mean, you know, an American tourist wouldn't get off the plane at Heathrow and go to some of the more, what we would say are dodgy bits of right. London. And it's exactly the same in South Africa. I have been there 21 times. I've never had a problem. I eventually said to my folks, look, come on, you've got to get down there. Right. And they loved it, and they've been there several times since. So, you know, you can go to Cape Town, and in some parts of it, you would think you're in Southern California. There's, right. you know, people going around in drop-top convertibles, and there's the beach life. And yet, on the other hand, there's the grimmer side of economic reality, which you can go and explore. And with the right tour company locally, you can make sure that you're putting money into the community, and it's okay. not a voyeuristic experience.
So you can have that educational reality tour dimension actually with the help of a local guide if you want to deal with the social and economic problems that South Africa, like so many countries, is dealing with. Neil is on the phone in Bayside, Wisconsin. Neil, thanks for your call.
I found the trip out to Robben Island by ferry to be particularly fascinating, not just for Robben Island itself, but certainly the ferry ride out there was visually spectacular. But the real highlight, I thought, of the visit to this prison where Nelson Mandela was held for those many years was that the tours were provided by former prisoners, former colleagues of Mr. Mandela, and I thought that provided a real special sort of tour of what could have been just here's the cell, here's the prison. That added touch of having one of the former prisoners helping you understand that site, I thought was very powerful.
Boy, I bet.
And it just was a terrific place to visit. Learned a lot of history. The people were phenomenal, and we happened to be down actually in Cape Town working rather than touring, and just had an afternoon off, and it was very easy to organize. Whether it was, you know, the trip up to Table Mountain or the ferry out to Robben Island, both of them, you know, just really special experiences.
Neil, did you have any sort of adventure sports or get out on the water or over the water in any way?
We did. As a matter of fact, we were at the Victoria and Alfred waterfront where there were just endless wonderful restaurants. I mean, this was a real surprise to us, the trip. We weren't actually supposed to be in Cape Town. We had been shooting up in George and Port Elizabeth on a video shoot and came to Cape Town as a surprise. And so with a little time on our hands, we saw on the waterfront not only the lovely restaurants, but someone offering helicopter rides. And when you're at this part of the world, it was hard not to take advantage of seeing the tip of a continent. And so we jumped into the helicopter and went flying out over the area around
wow.
Cape Town. And one of the things we thought, in addition to absolutely spectacular views, a loop around Table Mountain, the pilot was at levels that probably the U.S. FAA wouldn't approve of, but came down very close to the water and was searching desperately for sharks. He said he often found himself warning surfers who were out in the waves when he saw a dark shadow behind them. He would kind of swoop down and make this gesture of fin to them so they would be alert to look behind their board and see if there was a dark shadow chasing them. So it was both beautiful and entertaining and a quick trip, but a nice opportunity to see a lot of Cape Town in a short period of time.
In light of that, in his article, Will wrote about dolphin spotting and cage diving among white sharks. Will, can you talk about that for a bit?
Well, that's right. I've done it a couple of times. You can go cage diving with the great white sharks. I have to say, though, you can ask plenty of people who say it's not a very politically correct thing to do. What they do to attract the sharks in is they tip stuff over the side of the boat, which is a mixture of, I think it's raw tuna and other stuff called chumming. And since I've done that, my opinion has maybe changed a wee bit, because certainly friends down there have said that it's just messing with Mother Nature.
And you're teaching sharks to enjoy eating humans, aren't you?
Well, that is certainly one way of looking at it. The debate is very 50-50. You'll speak to 10 different people, get five say one thing, five say another. So, I mean, I've done it, so I sound a bit hypocritical. If you're going to do it, read up about it. And then if you still think you can. I mean, I have to say, from an adrenaline point of view, it is just unbelievable to be in the cage. But I, as I say, I do feel somewhat hypocritical having said that. So there are people probably out there now listening and thinking, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Hey, Neil, before we say goodbye, what was your favorite eating experience in South Africa?
Actually, it was at a B&B that we were staying at in George, and it had more to do with the people than anything else. We were staying there, and they said, the woman who owned the place said that her husband wanted to prepare a traditional South African barbecue the next night, and it'd be like $10 extra on the bill or whatever. And we said, well, of course, I mean, nothing would be better. And so they barbecued this tremendous variety of meats, and we had a wonderful evening of talking to them and dining. The next day when we settled up the bill, I noticed there was no extra charge for that, and she said, no, we just told you it was going to be extra because we thought that if we told you it was free, you wouldn't want to take advantage of our hospitality. So they told us there was a charge when they really just intended to entertain us. Nice people.
That speaks volume, just that little gesture there. Hey, Neil from Wisconsin, thanks for your call.
All right.
We're talking about South Africa with Will Hyde, a travel writer friend from London. And Will, just to close things off, paint a picture for me. The sun's going down in Cape Town. You're at the very south tip of Africa. People are out and relaxed. Where's the best place to be? Where do you get the magic for the sunset?
I would say head to Camps Bay. There are several beaches very, very close into the center of Cape Town. There's a stretch called Clifton, and then just round the bay from that, there's a suburb called Camps Bay. And if you wanted to go to one spot with a nice, cool cocktail and watch the sun go down, then you could not go wrong with doing it in Camps Bay, watching the sun sink over the beach there.
Wow, so many dimensions to Cape Town, and it sounds like it's affordable. And from London, it's a straight shot south, so no jet lag.
No, not for us. We're very lucky on that front. And as Neil pointed out, I've just got to say that people in South Africa, very, very friendly, fantastic. Some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet, without doubt.
You got the magic moment there. Everything's going together. What do you tell your hosts?
Lekker. Everything is lekker, which means cool or you know, awesome. And you can have a lekker time. It's a good word to describe Cape Town, I think. Everything is lekker.
All right. Well, lekker. It sounds like a lekker place to go. Thanks, Will Hyde.
Very. Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. We've archived many of the interviews from Travel with Rick Steves by destination and topic and made them available as an app for your smartphone. Look for the Rick Steves Audio Europe package on iTunes and at ricksteves.com. Join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.